Hello, and welcome to Whispers of Lunabelle Island. This is a horror show and may include subject matter that some listeners might find disturbing, including depictions of helplessness, drug use, and violence. If that all sounds good, then please join us. Because if these things don't scare you, then we might just discover something that does.
Question, has anybody been fired from their job recently?
It was a graze and it wasn't, you didn't actually get shot.
Dr. Greenwood gets a call on his cell phone.
Yeah, you're fired.
Like, hey doc, I hope we're not catching you at a bad time, but we gotta let you go.
We're letting you go, bye.
Like, God damn it.
I think Dan motherfuckers are gonna die today.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the right music, but we're just gonna roll with it. Quiet returns to the halls of the mansion, with the ringing in your ears being the only thing that remains of the chaos mere moments ago. Dan, you've picked yourself back up off the floor, and you're still fighting back the stinging tears in your eyes brought on by the spores. Maya, you're centering your breathing and extending a hand out to Dr. Greenwood in an effort to get him to do the same. Scorpion, you're still lying on the ground, muscles tense, hand white-knuckled on your shotgun, eyes firmly leveled at the doctor, your mind endlessly racing. Dr. Greenwood, you glance quickly around the room, trying desperately to make sense of what just happened. You see Ronnie, your best friend, lying on the floor, applying pressure to a gunshot wound on her left hip. Your hands are clasped tight around your shotgun. The barrel is still smoking. The forest surrounding the manor has gone silent. The dust is settling around you. The smell of gunpowder hangs in the stale air. Dr. Greenwood, Ronnie, Maya, Dan, Scorpion, what are you guys doing?
I think Dan is like really fucking unsure about what that interaction between him and Ronnie just now means. He's backing up. He's getting everybody in front of him. Probably backing up the stairs a little bit.
Well, I want to kind of kick this off too. I'm sure coming out of this fervor, Dr. Greenwood and Ronnie are probably the first ones to act. Ronnie.
I think Ronnie, seeing that Freddy's kind of snapping out of it, tries to get up to go to him and then lets out like a grunt in pain or a yell in pain and falls back to the ground. It's like, ah, oh, Freddy, it's okay.
I think Freddy will look down at Scorpion and try and give him a hand to like get him up. And once he gets him up, he'll go, orange jump bag, back of truck, grab it now. And I'll walk over to Ronnie.
Scorpion nods his head and he rushes.
As I walk over, I'd probably, so Dan, when Dan and Ronnie fell, right, were they next to each other?
Yeah, Ronnie actually tripped Dan.
Yeah, and we both kind of fell down the stairs a little bit when I did that, I think.
Yeah, you fell down the stairs, I jumped in front of you to, like, be a body blocker for the next shot, and then took aim and you tripped me. That was kind of the exact sequence of events there.
Yeah. I was thinking that then we fell farther down the stairs, but maybe we were already at the bottom. I don't know.
Ronnie, you kind of clambered up a couple steps to where he was, grabbed him by the leg, and then he rolled down, and you both kind of rolled down those last couple steps again.
Wait, why would you have to clamber up?
He was in front of me.
Yes,
but I think his weight probably brought us both down the stairs, is what I was picturing.
Okay, gotcha.
I'd walk over to him and I'd be like, Dan, can you please give me a hand?
Dr. Greenwood, are you still holding your shotgun?
When I go over to kneel next to Ronnie, I would have put it down.
Okay. I just, a little bit of retcon, I think, like, when you help Scorpion up, he's probably just like, let me hold that. I know you still got a pistol on you, but...
Yeah, I don't think he would have heard you. I think he's too focused. Like, without you interacting or being like, give me the gun, I think Dr. Greenwood's too focused on, like, that's the thing I gotta do right there.
Would
I gotta
Scorpion,
go do the thing.
Would Scorpion take no for an answer, though, at this point?
I think, like, Scorpion's got his hand on the barrel, like, strongly.
Oh. I it's just not in his mind, so if you were like, hey, like, let me take this, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Like, I almost like to think that, like, Dr. Greenwood, you don't hear this, but as you turn away, like, you just, your hands just kind of slip off of the shotgun almost absentmindedly.
Yeah, something
just,
like that.
Remains
you kind
there
of relinquish your grasp.
Yeah. It's just not in his mind. That's not a priority right now.
And I think seeing you absentminded too, and maybe not even realizing exactly what happened and how close we came to somebody getting killed, like, he just, like, looks at Maya wide-eyed and then rushes to get your bag out of the car.
But yeah, I would kneel down and I'd be like, Dan, I need your help.
I think Dan's backed up the stairs a few steps and just looking wide-eyed at both of you. I've seen somebody melt down a little bit from PTSD before, but then getting tripped by Ronnie was really like, gonna be like, all right, what you need, Doc? Yeah, what
need
you
to
need?
I need to get to her wound. Get me a knife. And I'll hold up a hand. Yeah. I'm going to need your help applying pressure and everything, so come on down here. Okay, sorry, go.
Maya is at your side, too. Yeah. And as Freddy comes within range of Ronnie, Ronnie's going to, like, put a strong hand on his arm and, like, get him to make eye contact and say, Freddy. Do you make eye contact with her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just checking. She's just going to be like, it's okay. I'm okay. We'll be okay.
He probably wouldn't respond.
Ronnie, what's your human score? Do you have one?
Not great. It's whatever the base is. Yeah, 10.
Okay. You have a decent psychotherapy, though, right?
I have a 31 psychotherapy.
Okay. With that 31, you would get that, like, it's maybe a little bit hard to peer past the veil, but you can tell he's just, like, hyper-focused right now, and he's having a tough time hearing what people are saying and processing it.
Yeah.
He's laser-focused on his task right now, which seems to be treating your wound.
Yeah, and I think that's why she was trying to make sure he was focused on her when she was saying that.
Mm.
Because she wants to make sure that she knows he's going to take it personal, or take it, like, to heart what he did, like, feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's trying to break through and be like, don't.
Also, Maya is keeping a close eye and assisting where she can, because going from one extreme to another, even if it's, like, harm or in this, like, trauma-induced state, to another extreme of, like, performing aid on someone who's actively hurt, like, just making sure that that is going the way that she thinks it is, and it's not turning into something else, into some kind of other response, trauma response, that could be harmful as well.
Got it. Give me a psychotherapy roll. You're gonna get something, but let's see if you get a little bit more.
Oh god, what dice do I pick this time? Every
whichever
time
ones, whichever ones get you past that minus 20 you have from being
I don't remember. Yeah. I think
I forgot about that.
Why does she have a minus 20?
Because she's drunk.
She's hungover. She tried to suppress. She tried.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Well, not
oh, yeah.
drunk. You're hungover. Tried to suppress that disorder thing with by drinking a bunch of alcohol so she could sleep, but she failed.
Yeah.
So bad she alcohol. Just stayed up all night and now feels like absolute shit because she drank three Mike's Hard Lemonades.
And then I drank coffee, though, because you said you could use stimulants to try to, like, build. better.
Well, that, I guess that was the thing, we never determined if the minus 20 was due to being exhausted specifically, or if it's just a minus 20 you get for failing that check. It seems like it should be from being exhausted.
I think
that's the obvious.
Yeah, I think that's there. What we were talking about last time is.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
I do.
We were rolling minus 20s last episode though, right? I'm pretty sure you were, because your psychotherapy is 71, right, Ayla? And you were trying to beat 51.
Yeah, I think that's why she was having such a hard time. Or wait, did she didn't? I don't remember.
She was doing the minus 20, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
God, Jesus Christ.
Now I can do that with mine. We can
uh-huh.
tink. I said that before. I was like, we could tink our nose rings together, but that's just kissing. Okay. Where are which one is it? This one.
Nice.
Ooh.
Okay.
Very nice.
So yeah, watching Dr. Greenwood's movements carefully, you can tell he's not quite out of the trauma yet, but he's moving mechanically in the sense that he's done this like hundreds, if maybe not like thousands of times before. And he understands this procedure enough where you feel pretty comfortable that he's maintaining focus on that. At least his hands aren't shaking. His eyes are focused on what he's doing, but you can tell beyond that, his mind isn't totally out of that episode yet.
All I need to know is that his intentions are based in reality, and I think that's good enough for Maya. I mean, she's not going to stop watching, but at least this is based on things that are happening in front of his eyes right now.
Yeah, Dr. Greenwood sees an injury he can treat. You can tell that that's just, he's going to do it, and he looks confident in his movements.
Okay.
You would also definitely see Dan, like, kind of postured with a shoulder pointed at the space between Ronnie and the doctor. Like, not doing anything, but definitely keeping, like, a side eye on the dog. So you get the sense if anything happens, he's going to be on it.
I do think with, like, Maya and Freddy and Dan all, like, hovering right there, Ronnie's going to be like, to Dan, Maya can help Freddy. We need someone keeping an eye. We're still in danger here. Be on guard.
Oh, I'm on guard, Ronnie. Don't you worry.
So Dan's just got overwatch on the whole situation then.
How far away is this truck?
We need to get this.
Sorry.
Oh, it's right outside the
door. It's right outside the door, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't take you long at all.
So
sorry, Dan.
This is where I love our personal experiences can bleed into the gameplay, and Wes can just have that edge over everybody else that doesn't know how to treat a gunshot wound, but Wes might. What's Dr. Greenwood doing specifically right
now? Well, what type of gunshot wound is it? You said it was graze.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a through and through.
Don't,
it's like,
oh my God, me. Fuck you.
It's going to be the same medicine roll no matter what it is.
I don't give a shit.
Well, there's...
Talk about it.
That's a question to IRL Wes.
Yeah. I want to talk about it for 45 minutes and then make the roll and then the episode will be done. So what of it?
Go ahead, bud. Go.
So it is a graze. It looks like the slug just kind of tore a chunk of flesh out of the hip. It didn't go like through the leg. It obviously didn't hit anything critical or structural.
Yeah.
But so, it's definitely not looking good.
Just a flesh wound, bud.
Just a flesh wound.
again, we were going over this before too. Sorry to cut you off. Ronnie, you haven't been shot before?
She got shot in Big Timber.
Shot at in Big Timber.
Oh, she might have
definitely
been shot,
got shot
at.
I thought she had gotten shot, but I
who was even
it might have been the
though?
Alien.
Was anyone?
Was
I think only Dan. Shot. Only Dan really got shot at. We dealt with aliens.
Yeah, Dan
no,
got shot.
12 opened fire at you and Maya because you were walking down the road trying to keep them away from the house when.
I don't think they fired. When at us.
I think they drew their guns.
They made a
drew
their
they
gun,
did. I don't
they didn't
remember.
Fire.
I don't remember
shooting happening.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't think they fired
us. I didn't play in that campaign.
Me either.
Yeah. Anyway, so if it's just a graze, I mean, honestly, it's just going to be a lot of irrigation and some suturing. With the med kit, as I stipulated beforehand, there's going to be medications that I have, antibiotics. I have painkillers. I have probably some morphine. And then I have suture supplies. I have saline that I can irrigate the wound with. Okay. And as long as there's no, like, I didn't hit the pelvic girdle or anything like that, she's going to be fine to walk.
The girdle.
The girdle.
Yeah, you want to stay away from that girdle.
Yeah, you don't want a girdle. You don't want to hurdle the girdle.
Ronnie.
On the note of, like, never been shot at, I do think that Ronnie is kind of freaking out a little bit in her head about it, but she's trying to put on, like, a strong front because she's more worried about Freddy. So, like, Maya, I'm sure, can read that she's still, like, freaked.
She probably just, like, takes her hand, even though she knows you're fucking strong and don't need it, but, like, just feel it. And when she does, she's probably just, like, some of this is probably not going to feel great, and you can you can squeeze my hand if you want.
She breaks your hand.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Ronnie, make a strength times 5 for me to see if you break Maya's hand.
A strength times 20, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She might be squeezing a little harder than is comfortable.
Well, yeah, as soon as Scorpion's back with that bag, like, the real work begins.
Let me go ahead.
I was just gonna say really quick, when anything starts happening near the wound, I think Dan just being right there is gonna be like, Ronnie, you know about Lamal's breathing? Never learned. You should learn today. It'll help you a lot in the next 30 seconds.
We're all about breathing exercises in this Delta group.
Go and learn today.
I mean, she's definitely performed first aid, so I think you mentioning that probably, like, is like, oh yeah, and she starts kind of going through those steps in her head. She just, didn't think of it until you reminded her.
Okay. Well, let me set this scene up for everybody here. Scorpion, you ran to get the bag?
Yep.
Okay. So, Dr. Greenwood, you go up and maybe sit Ronnie up against the stair banister so you can try to, like, stabilize her leg. You take that knife from Dan, cut a slit in the side of the... You're wearing jeans, Ronnie? I don't want to put jeans on your legs.
She's probably wearing more like cargo pants.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
She's wearing cargo pants that zip at the knee to turn them into
cargo
shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What do you got in there? You got like some snacks or something? Yeah. Okay, cool. Dr. Gwynn, you grab yourself a snack out of Ronnie's leftmost hip pouch.
You slit her cargo pants and trail mix trickled out.
Jerky and trail mix in there.
I nicked a vein.
Oh, no.
Quick, get the trail mix out of there.
You missed that now.
I just, like, want you to explain the rest of your gay outfit now. You're like,
I picture
those, like, little, like, strappy strap sandals.
No, like I think she wears, like,
Greek
boots.
Looking ones?
Like, her firefighter boots type situation. And then she's got like a flannel, long sleeve flannel with a vest.
Okay.
So, Dr. Greenwood, as Scorpion's running back in with the bag, you've taken Dan's knife, cut an area open in the side of the pant leg, or the shorts rather, and you're assessing the wound. You grab some saline out of the bag, and I think at this point, Maya, you've come up and you're holding Ronnie's hand, and Dan's kind of explaining that breathing technique. And Ronnie, you're no stranger to pain either. You were a wrestler for quite a time. Mm-hmm. You understand, you know, basic first aid. You've been hurt before. You probably like set minor broken bones like in your finger and things like that before you could get to the ER. So you know what to brace for when you know that sting is coming. And this gunshot wound is quite unlike anything that you've experienced before. But what surprises you, what maybe even like freaks you out a little bit more, is when Dr. Greenwood looks at you and gives the nod and goes and applies pressure to the side of the wound and begins flushing it with saline to irrigate it, the pain doesn't come. In fact, where the pain was ripping through the whole left side of your body moments ago, you find that there's not much there anymore.
Well,
I told you, I thought Lamal was just for having babies till I got shot.
She grabs Freddy with her other hand. Like, Freddy, you got some sort of like analgesic that you're using?
I would have applied morphine before I would have started doing anything. So,
well, for argument's sake, I'm just going to say that played out the way that it played out. So,
that's. All right. It's not how that works, but okay.
We're just rolling with it.
Okay.
You're saying all
you
gone.
See, Wes, we are playing a game.
your morphine is.
Where things happen and you shot somebody 30 seconds ago might not be firing on all cylinders.
I'm going to apply morphine to Scorpion.
The morphine.
Lethal dose.
Finally.
The lid not on all the way and is empty.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
Wait, I'm confused. You're saying he, like, neutralized the pain on purpose?
No.
No. Oh.
I did not apply anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then, that's scary.
Yeah, what Zane's saying is it's scary that
it's
she doesn't.
It's scary that I'm not. Okay.
I probably wouldn't break concentration. I'd be like, not yet, but I'll get you something. Hold on.
No, there's no need. Maybe I'm in shock.
Yeah.
Could be shock. Could be a lot of things. Yeah, if you don't need it, then that's probably for the best. And he'll
Dr.
just
Greenwood,
keep irrigating.
Give me a first aid check.
Now, since he does have what I'm assuming is the equivalent of the rulebook's first responder medical kit, he gets plus 20% to 4 first aid rolls.
Oh, cool. Right on.
Well, that's actually I got a 44 under 80.
Okay. Nice. So
that
is
a crit success. Yeah.
Success. You are going to heal for 2d. You're going to do 1d4 and then double it. I'll let you roll that.
I don't have a d4.
Nice, buddy.
Well,
good.
I'll go here. I will roll it then.
You're on top of the rules. I got you here.
2d4. 5 damage.
Got all my hit points back.
5 healing damage.
5 healing damage applied.
I'm back to full.
Is that on? Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
And I think that kind of tracks too, because as Dr. Greenwood, you're probably like getting to the point where you have flushed the wound and you are starting to suture.
Yes.
And the same thing, Ronnie. It makes no sense that these needles aren't hurting as they pierce your skin. You have dealt with pain before. You know that should be coming, but it isn't. And I think that weirds you out so much, I'm going to have you make a little sanity check. Okay.
And I think it kind of like, while that's happening, Ronnie's kind of just like pokey next to where he's pushing the needle in.
Dr. Greenwood, give me a medicine check.
Can Maya
and Dan's
do
just passively like stop.
Some kind of check to, because pain is like experienced, I feel like, in the brain.
Yeah. Go ahead and give me a psychotherapy.
That's a 75 over 56. So I'm gonna deflect whatever this is.
I mean, that's fine. I think you're only going to take 1 sanity damage because you don't know. You might be in shock, but this doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
So I'm going to take a 1d4 rate for that?
Correct.
For willpower?
I got a 66 under 80.
Okay.
Another crit?
I'm rolling crits.
Ooh.
I'm critting tonight.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I
rolled a 4.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Okay. So is Freddy getting 4 off? 9. And...
Makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, but that drops you so low.
Freddy shot you.
You already dropped me so low, it is true.
I know, it's going to bring you down to a 3 if I drop you.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my god, by you guys one? Off, how are you even friends?
By 1?
But well, I think I drop it by the roll, right?
Yeah, no, you drop it by the roll you deflect. That's why deflecting is... a real gamble.
Interesting. Gotcha.
A D4, though, and you got...
I rolled a 4.
Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, if you want to... If you
I
want
feel
to.
Like it's the thing that makes sense in this situation.
Just saying that Ronnie's at
I think
14
that,
for me, so...
I think that Ronnie...
a one-sided relationship here.
Yeah, it is.
I think that Ronnie is going to be like, fuck, Freddy, what are you doing? There's nothing. It's not hurting. Something's going on. What'd you give me?
I've heard so many patients bitch at me before, I'm just not even paying attention.
Well, actually, Dr. Greenwood, with that medicine roll that you made.
Yeah.
First aid roll.
I think where before... Well, no, it's the medicine one afterward. I had you roll medicine, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I missed that.
First aid, then medicine, yeah.
Yeah, you did, Tanner. Thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Can I minus 4 for my bond with Tanner?
Also,
get that notated.
Easily.
Stop. I just want to say, if you think about it, I think the way the bonds work is... me being low with Freddy means that he doesn't like me, not the other way around.
Well, you guys should play that how you think it makes sense.
I mean, I think it's a two-way street.
It's what?
It's the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess you could have a bond with you.
Yeah, you're
He has a bond.
You're taking psyche damage.
So we have such a strong bond that it's really both of our bonds combined. So we're still like 17.
It almost makes sense that it should be like one number.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
But it could also be like
save.
It could also be like if that bond with Latara reaches, or with Ronnie reaches zero, the bond Freddy still has is like he's still trying to reach out and trying to. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's just.
Anyway,
it's interesting.
Just something.
I was interpreting it like if you are traumatized, and you start like perceiving something that you hadn't perceived before, then people in your life look different.
And relationships,
And relationships might suffer because of things that you say as a result of that.
Yeah, I assumed it's that's because I mean the dick. That's why the relationship suffers, is what I was picturing.
Yeah.
Essentially,
that number can represent so many different things.
So if Ronnie's score gets a zero, but Dr. Greenwood sells a bond score, it's like he goes and hangs out with his friend who just is like, you hate me.
I'm like, yeah, it's good to see you too.
He's like, hey, Saturday. I made you some food. She's like, it's poison, and slams it against the wall.
Yeah, anyway. I just always took it as like a perception of your bond.
That's like, interesting. I like that.
Like Ronnie's perception of your bond is down to a 7 or 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the more shit you go through, you're maybe, looking at them a little bit different. Like, I don't know.
I mean, if you guys both make it out of this in one piece, we could probably, like, re-strengthen that bond a little bit. I think that's a mechanic in between, right?
Yeah, and it probably, I mean, it's more just a weird thought because, like, I doubt many people make one of the other players their bond.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a, they say it in the rule book as an option, so.
That's true. They do say
enough.
If you do enough with them, they might form a bond.
That too.
Okay. So, Dr. Greenwood, with that crit success mm-hmm. on that medicine roll, whereas before you were just kind of mechanically going through the motions, trying to treat Ronnie as efficiently and quickly as you possibly can, in your medical experience, you know when to recognize signs of shock or things that could justify the way that she's feeling or the lack of what she's feeling, in this case, the pain from the gunshot wound in her leg. You do think it's really bizarre that she's handling this as well as she is, and you probably do the regular checks too to make sure like that you look for when somebody is in shock for these types of things, and she's not exhibiting signs of shock.
Okay.
Do you do the little kneecap thing?
Did you roll?
Check her knee reflexes. Hell yeah, Dan loves that one.
Maya, did you do a
Here again, Doc?
Did you do a psychotherapy?
Do it again, Doc.
You're like, eat her.
It's like a fucking baseball fan.
Yeah, hell yeah! Do it again!
Gets kicked in the face. Woo, home run!
Yeah.
Maya, did you make a psychotherapy roll?
I failed.
You failed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that the stress of the situation is just kind of overwhelming your ability to determine exactly what's going on.
Well,
mostly because in this situation doesn't make sense because... I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact that it's not shock or seems to not be shock, it makes it harder for Maya to identify as that because it's not.
Well, let me do it this way. This is always kind of weird, but like you didn't crit fail, right?
No.
Okay. I think that like even despite the failure, you do notice that there's an absence of response to this.
Wait, I had a minus 20 though. So I guess I forget what crit fail is.
It wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, if you have matching digits.
Well, 42, 22.
No,
I got a 76 or 71.
No, that's not how that works. Yeah.
I got a 76 over 71.
It's a minus,
But then there's minus 20, so.
Yeah. Okay.
If your two dice match, that's either a crit success or crit fail.
Okay, I forgot. Sorry. Yeah.
You're good.
So, yeah, I think Maya would notice that Ronnie's not responding normally in this situation as somebody should probably respond given this, but I don't think you can really make heads or tails of it.
All right.
As it might be unsettling for you, Ronnie. I don't know if your blind fury that you're experiencing with the fear of not experiencing pain from this would distract you from it, but if you notice, Dr. Greenwood's face is very stoic. And he is suturing quite well, you know, all things considered, but he is silently crying.
And I think on that note, Dr. Greenwood, you came out of the other side of this not really knowing what you were walking into. You're still recovering from the traumatic psychological episode that you experienced. But I think at this point, once you have finally gotten through the muscle memory portion of patching this wound up, it sort of settles in like, my God, I almost killed my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have you make another sanity check for that.
Oh, goody.
And I do think...
And by...
Go ahead.
Now's a good time. Sorry.
I didn't know who you meant.
I didn't either.
By the way.
Also.
Now's a good time to mention that we have been doing Wes's psychoactive disorder incorrectly. I think the way we played it made sense. But actually, the GM chooses the trigger, and PTSD is anything that reminds you of the triggering event. So you don't have to roll a second sanity check after every sanity roll. I don't know where I got that. But if you do get an acute episode, you can try to repress it, and we'll tackle that when we get to it.
I just want to make it clear that I am not to blame here. I'm merely riding the wake of Tanner's inadequacy. So don't blame me.
Yeah.
Blame him.
Hashtag cancel Zane.
Yeah.
I'm taking you down with me, motherfucker.
Okay.
31 under 41.
Nice.
I did it.
Rolling under where Discord cuts off looks really funny because you're just like, like shaking your hand under the desk. It looks like you can't tell what's happening.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's too stressful. I need to. Yeah.
Especially because it was like the whole time Tanner was talking.
He's like, oh yeah, Delta Green rules. Yeah. Or he's like, oh yeah, Tanner's wrong.
Tanner's wrong.
Oh, Dr. Greenwood, you finish jerking off under your desk, and then afterward,
go suture someone.
Without washing your hands.
The guilt washes over you. You've treated so many wounds, but maybe few, if ever. It's by your own actions. So you're going to take 1 point of sanity damage, even though you succeeded.
Are you going to deflect that onto me? As I'm yelling at you.
You son of a bitch.
Why didn't you die?
No.
You're all just sitting there slapping each other.
All
locking eyes. Like, are you deflecting onto our bond right now?
I don't know if I would. No, I'll deflect it. I'll deflect it onto my ex-wife.
So first you roll a d4.
Oh, no.
First you have to roll a d4.
It was four.
That's two.
Okay, well... Goodbye, ex-wife.
What'd you get? You got a four?
Bitch made me shoot Ronnie.
I got a four.
Yeah, you got a four.
So you dropped your ex-wife by four and your willpower by four.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
Now, just so we all know as players, really don't want that willpower to hit two.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
Really do not.
Yeah.
What if it hit to one?
It's bad.
One or two, you fall unconscious.
Yeah.
You collapse under the mental
strain.
That's
right, that happened to me. That happened to me at Big Tipper.
Maya, were you trying to do something?
That's right.
I forgot.
Well, I do think that, like, while Ronnie did snap at Freddy in the moment, like, seeing him crying and the whole situation, part of her bond loss with him is the guilt she's feeling because she feels like he wouldn't be here without her.
Dr. Greenwood, that guilt washes over you, and it falls off your shoulders about as quickly as you can allow it to. Before this anger kind of wells up in your chest, things in Mogadishu were pretty traumatic for you in the long run, but they were pretty cut and dry. What happened to Big Timber? Well, terrifying. Facing down this alien threat, it was still a threat that was right in front of you. You may not have been able to rationalize it, but at least you could fight it. In the face of this ambiguous threat to you and your friends, and the outcome here in this mansion, I think, Dr. Greenwood, you're feeling angry, and I think your intentions and your goals are doubled down now. And I think as you sort of look around at your friends recovering from this, you know now more than ever, you need to find this thing and you need to end this before it ends you.
I would agree. I think that's how Freddy is feeling. But as soon as he's done suturing, he immediately stands up and says, "Thank you, everybody, for your help," and just walks out of the building.
I think, too, at this point, seeing this situation conclude, knowing that nobody's going to die today, I think that you can relax a little bit. But seeing what transpired here, seeing somebody that even you, Scorpion, you thought that you had a pretty good handle on sort of crack like that, I think it does get to you a little bit, and watching that bullet rip through Ronnie's leg is going to mean another sanity check. For everybody who hasn't rolled one yet, aside from Dan, because you're adapted to violence.
59 over 40.
Get fucked, brother!
I don't like this.
No, well, get fucked.
Scorpion might like be Hulk having some Hogan flashbacks, too.
Scorpions are shooting.
Maya.
I got a 72. D7.
Okay.
No one's handling this.
You guys
well
are going to take.
Nope.
It's a bad time. 18 sanity damage.
Situations where I should do a whole D4 or just keep
this should be a one.
Yeah, I think it's a
for
one.
Sure.
This should be a one.
Since they didn't shoot or get shot at, it's probably a one.
You guys keep making me feel like I'm going too easy on you,
it's
though, so I'm trying
like
to pull
you
out
just
all the stops.
Should have more rolls, but not necessarily high rolls.
I think, like, my best friend when I, like, during season one of this was that Delta Green Quick Start Guide. It just has a bunch of examples and their sanity loss.
Yeah.
Like, suffering violence, ambushed or hit by gunfire is 0/1. Surprised by a corpse, 0/1d2.
Surprised
someone
by
you love, 0/1d4.
Wow, a whole... You think of... No, whatever. Okay, you're all going to take 1 point of sanity damage.
I refuse.
Okay.
Anyone deflect?
You're fine.
Okay.
I actually refuse.
I am fine, thank
yeah
you.
Dan just, like, clenches his butt cheeks and gets over it.
Nope!
He's like, I'll internalize that.
Yeah. I'll repress
he's
that. Like, until
he's more focused on Ronnie betraying him than the fighting.
I don't know if that was really Ronnie betraying him. It was just Ronnie being weird.
I guess that's an interesting question. How is Dan reacting to that?
He's actively turning his stress into a stomach ulcer is what's happening.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Here's some Prilosec.
No, I mean, for the moment, Dan's being very pragmatic. It would probably be fairly hard to get a read, except that he's, like, extra on alert now and, like, at his friends instead of just at the building as a whole. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, we talk about how Dan's feeling. But
does Dan
more,
talk
more, I just
about
wanted to
how
make sure
feeling?
that Dan wasn't, like, is or is not taking that very personally, or from a tactical, like, mechanical standpoint, he's like, okay, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, he's not taking it personally. Yeah, he's still considering the tactical implications.
So, well, nobody else except for you could have known that you were aiming for, like, his arm to disarm him or something. Everybody else would just see Dan raising his rifle, and everybody knows that Dan is a trained killing machine, so.
Yeah, Dan had his rifle up the whole time, though. It was just
he
took actual aim.
I think that the trust... Oh, sorry.
I'm just curious as to, like, what Dan actually, like, what his point of view is in all of this, because Dan's actually had cooperative, like, military operations, and this is going poorly. So I'm just curious and, like, what's going through his head.
Yeah, it is going poorly, and I actually have a direct kind of reaction I was going to get to about Freddy walking out of the building. But yeah, I mean, this is going poorly, but this is nothing that he hasn't seen. He's trained or continued training on soldiers that have come back from war. And this is, you know, we're into the era of, like, the Iraq-Afghanistan war. So it's not like Dan hasn't seen a breakdown on at least the training field, probably once a week, you know, at least once a month, pretty much ever since 2001. But
I think,
yeah, I don't know. He doesn't look happy, but he doesn't look too deterred either. In fact, he's looking at you, Scorpion.
Why are you looking at me? Actually, I think in this moment, you know, as Dr. Greenwood is suturing up Ronnie, that you and me, I imagine, are probably still like, I set down Dr. Greenwood's shotgun and have my own, and like, we know we're not out of the woods. Like, we are doing this in the fucking house.
Yeah, I think Dan's gonna wave over Agent Maya Oakley, who also has something to say.
So is Ronnie.
Smooth criminal.
Mine is short. And not it's not exactly interacting within the game, but it's just kind of like a thought, that I bet in Dan's experience there's like, you know, camaraderie and trust, but this is in our group, we've had the trust, we had to build the trust because there's a new member, and then the trust has been tested along the way, and this is the biggest moment where our trust has not been completely there, between like, you know, Ronnie not quite trusting you when you're going to aim, and then between the episode and not being and having to react and everything. So it's like there's just kind of like the biggest test of trust in within our this group. So
yeah, for sure. And that's you hit it on the head. That is what's going through Dan's head right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's gonna wave you over.
Sorry. I was just gonna say, if are we at the point that Freddy's walking out? Or are you doing something before that?
Yeah, I think Dan was doing something with Maya.
Like as a reaction to him walking out.
Oh, so, okay, Maya, sorry. Or... I'm confused on the time.
Go ahead first.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Dan's just going to, he's going to wave Maya over. Say, Agent, can you help this one get outside and help that one that is outside?
What does that mean?
Ronnie will pull herself up and say, yeah, Maya, please, go keep an eye on him. Me and Dan got to finish what we were doing.
No, we do not, Ronnie. Score.
You're injured.
We're still on a tour duty.
I'm not injured. I'm fine.
No, you
are
not,
Ronnie.
Get your
ass out there and take care of your friend.
He doesn't need me right now.
I'm pretty sure if I shot my friend and they survived, they would need the person they shot to talk them down. He is going to blame himself, and you know that.
He needs both of you right now. And I need Scorpion. And that's the way it is, Ronnie.
Thanks for your advice on our personal relationship. And she'll take her mask off and storm outside. Leave it with
you. Give me the mask.
You're not ashamed to be storming.
I meant like she took it off and kind of like handed it to
this.
You. And then stormed outside.
I'm not using it, but it's still mine.
You would all notice, too, as Ronnie storms out, and Ronnie, you notice this too, maybe, putting a normal amount of weight on that leg that just got stitched up.
Yeah, she said she was fine. She's fine.
Yeah.
That is one tough congressman.
Oh, dear God. I think I might move to Montana just to vote for her, man.
Yeah.
But for real, man.
Maya is like following after you and just begging you to like just take it easy, because it's like you're still having blood loss, whether you feel good, even if you feel great. It's like, awesome. Glad you feel that way, but you're still bleeding as far
as
she
to
goes.
Be fair, the bleeding would have stopped at this point.
Okay.
But
well,
it doesn't take much to tear stitches.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like...
I do think that she'll like pause right outside the door if she knows you're coming and wait for you.
Okay.
And when you come out, she's going to like turn and be like, you know how to read these situations, Maya. You think he really wants to be confronting what's making him guilty right now?
I mean, I think that it really takes someone who knows him the best, and that's you. I think you should trust yourself in these situations. And I think that's the best advice I can give. I mean, let it breathe for just a moment. And if your intuition tells you to go, then go. If it tells you not to, then maybe it's for the best. I'm here to analyze it from a clinical point of view, but that's not always how these situations work.
I can't trust my instincts. When I trust them, it's my fault he's here. You wouldn't be here.
What do you mean?
I got the call. And I couldn't do it without him. I was selfish.
Are you saying you brought him here?
Maybe. I pulled some strings. Who knows if they listen to him, but he's here.
I know it's not exactly a clinical or something that maybe is always good to hear, but I'm glad you're both here. I couldn't have done it without you, so I completely understand your feeling.
But he's got PTSD, Maya. He shouldn't be here. I'm putting him in a stressful spot. I don't know. I don't think it's time to talk. We gotta get stuff done. Will you go help him?
I think that your presence, even if you're not ready to talk about it, and if he's not ready to talk about it, I think it could still mean a lot. Just knowing that you're ready to be there would mean something.
I'll trust you on that.
That you're not ready to run away, even though this happened, I think. Like, you're not going anywhere. I think that's a strong message to send to someone that you care about.
I guess I'll trust you, Maya. You know. And she'll start looking around for Freddy.
It's literally just me, Ayla, speaking from my heart and not in a clinical or scientific way. But yeah.
I find it to be rather compelling.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
You're also trying to talk down Ronnie down a path that she's just since dropped 4 whole points in terms of that bond, so that's probably why she's being so obstinate.
I'm also sweating a little bit because I'm just like giving advice out my ass because I'm just like trying my best.
Well, roll psychotherapy to see if that advice is good or shitty. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a combination of like...
I'm kidding, you don't actually have to roll that.
Oh, okay. I thought that was actually kind of a good idea.
Worry about making him feel more guilt by approaching him. But also, like, guilt herself. Like, she doesn't want to confront that as much.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, but I think it's, like, if you're willing to stand there and, you know, you're not running away, you're not like, oh, no. Like, you're not... We're here. Yeah, you're still standing by his side, even when maybe one of the worst things that could have happened, but... You're not. That's not enough to make you leave. And I don't know.
Well, let me try this. Go ahead, actually make that psychotherapy roll.
Because my role playing was okay. Can I get like not my thing?
let's say that coffee you drank 2 hours ago is finally kicking in, you can do it at a -10.
These dice suck.
Yeah.
Do you need me to drive you some more dice?
Wait a minute. Oh, that's a 6. Okay, it's a 6. Not a 90.
Is it?
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Oof.
That's a success?
It was a 6, right?
Mm-hmm. This would be under a 61, right?
6. Zero.
Like 0-6?
60 under. Oh, wait, no. Wait, so it's still a fail. If it's
minus,
wait, sorry. What was the minus?
-10.
Oh, so it's 70, 71 to 61, so I got a 60, or 6.
You got a 6, that's a success.
Did you get a yes.
you got a 0
and a 6?
No matter what, pretty much.
Yes, I got a 6.
Oh, okay, I thought you were saying a 60. Okay.
Sorry, I got all bamboozled.
That's okay.
Math is hard.
With math that, is good. With that success, Dr. Greenwood, what do you think? What? Hello?
He's dead.
Daniel.
Uh-oh.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What did he say?
I don't know.
Oh, are you there?
What?
Who there?
Hello?
I can hear
you. Hello? There
we
is.
Can hear you. Fuck was that?
But you what tell happened? Us.
I don't know. Discord just like, it looked like the server went entirely down for a second or something.
Oh. Texas server.
Actually, internet.
A little hip.
Yeah.
It must have, because
that
just
goes down. It does.
Yeah. It's those gosh darn illegals trying to
it's
cross your border,
damn
and they
Democrats
cut your internet lines. Internet. And Greg Abbott wheeled himself out there and reconnected.
It's all those
razor wire lines. Discord. You know how the internet is a series of tubes? They just clogged the Discord tube.
Right. Somebody stepped on it.
Someone stepped on the Discord.
Get this. The immigrants are coming through the tubes. Messing our internet.
Goddamn, Steve.
They're just goddamn millennials. Stop downloading immigrants.
You're
still recording all the internet's jobs.
Okay.
Okay, let me set us back up here.
Hold on.
This
real quick. Is everybody still recording?
Yes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just making sure. I don't know.
Oh, record. Ooh. Yeah, I probably should have started doing that a while ago.
That's not funny.
No, it's not. I didn't even like making that joke.
Zane, you can overdub. That's if one person forgets to, they can just redo all of their lines independently.
Right.
Hello, yes, I am Brendan.
You're done.
I am Brendan, yes. It's one of my favorite things. One, a two, a three, you clap. It just sounds like somebody cracking their back. Okay. Maya, with that 06, as we established, under 61 or whatever, Dr. Greenwood, what impression would she be getting on what the doctor needs right now? Does he need to be left alone? Does he need like a minute to process? Does he need his friend Ronnie? What do you think she would pick up with that success?
It's a good question. I think that she would know the doctor and Ronnie's relationship good enough from Big Timber. That she knows that it would never be a bad option to have Ronnie interact with him. Even in like his darkest hour, he would feel like she is the only person in his life that would be able to help. As a parent from what happened at Big Timber, I would say.
So Maya, how do you wrap up your discussion with Ronnie, considering that information?
I think Maya will just walk in the direction of Freddy, expecting her to follow, because she was hoping that her words meant something and that she would take her seriously.
Okay.
But, you know, if she didn't show up, she wouldn't be surprised.
Ronnie, this is your decision to make.
Ronnie was looking around for Freddy after the last thing that Maya said. Like, just glancing. She hasn't started walking, but...
I mean, Maya would probably, like, look back once and see if you're following, but after that, she would just resign to whatever you were doing.
Where is Freddy?
Probably walked a ways down the driveway.
I imagine you, like, sitting in the truck or something.
No.
No? Okay.
So the...
Ronnie does want to look around for dangers as she's walking towards him.
So a bit of fog has picked up and started lightly raining. And you do see Dr. Greenwood pacing in the distance along the massive driveway that runs down the front of the estate. We'll pick this up next time on Delta Green.
Jeepers. Jesus Christ.
Creepers?
Oh, and a good old solid hour of really intense emotional role play after a fracturous event down
like
the...
Like, sad.
Throwing these dice in the toilet.
And also, man, like, having a really good time with that rubber hammer that as soon as Freddy put it down, I think Dan kept just, like, testing Ronnie's reflexes. Like, yep, still good.
Yeah, good.
I think this leg works better than before.
Cut to him, like, behind Scorpion, getting ready to throw it. Like, this will test his reflexes.
Pink, ow, fuck.
Yeah, it hits me in the back of the head. Like, your reflexes are not good.
Yeah, we need the doc to work on you.
Also, on an unrelated note, I don't want to split hairs here. Shouldn't Cummery be 2 M's? Otherwise, it'd be the Cummery.
Thank you for listening to the Reroll Game podcast. This is made within the Delta Green Association partnership license. Listen to the end. I don't remember.
I don't think there's anything in the handler's guide or the agent handbook about whether Cummery is spelled with 1 or 2 M's.
Thank you for listening to the Reroll Gaming podcast. This actual play, Whispers of Lunabelle Island, is published by arrangement with the Delta Green Partnership. The intellectual property known as Delta Green is a trademark and copyright owned by the Delta Green Partnership, who has licensed its use here. The contents of this document are copyright Zane Gehring, excepting those elements that are components of the Delta Green intellectual property. Want to follow us on social media, listen to another episode, or send us hate mail? Check out our link tree for all our info. You can find that link in the episode description. Big thanks to Tabletop Audio for producing quality RPG music and ambiance that we can use in our games. The Reroll main theme and all character themes are copyright Zane Gehring. The Chronicles of Rel theme and the Frequency theme are copyright Tanner Prentice. Please consider donating to our Patreon if you liked our content. We are hell-bent on making more, and with your support, we can make a lot more. New episodes of Whispers of Lunabelle Island release every Friday at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you then.